Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, what's up? Third hour for you here on the show. Draft Monday. Get ready for Nashville. Tiki and Tierney. Live from our Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to help provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Monday after Easter. And, of course, Passover. Hopefully everybody had some quality time with family and friends and had a chance to get a little respite from the rigors of real life and relax and really appreciate what you have. By the way, a little housekeeping here before Teek and I dig into some hoops here. All right, so tonight, Inside College Football, Tiki's big part of it, draft special. It's a quarterback show.
It is a quarterback show.
Just the quarterbacks. Tonight from 7 to 9 Eastern here on CBS Sports Network, home of the Tiki and Tierney simulcast, amongst other things. Adam Zucker, Danny Cannell, Kevin Carter.
Yep.
So you got the defensive aspect with KC.
We do.
You got Danny Cannell, played quarterback. You got Zuck, who's going to work the maestro aspect. You got the running back and Teak. I love that you're a part of it. That's awesome. So that's tonight from 7 to 9. Give us a little taste of what we can expect here.
Yeah, it's mostly breaking down the top four quarterbacks in this draft. Kyler Murray being one, Dwayne Haskins being two, Drew Locke being the third one we looked at, and then Daniel Jones, who we also have talked about on this show. Mm-hmm. We also dig into some of the other kids and talk about whether or not we believe they have a shot to make it. Like, can Brett Rippon hang on and make the team as a backup, or will he be a bust, et cetera.
Oh, so you go a little deep. Okay.
Yeah, we do go deep, nice. Including Tyree Jackson, who a lot of people don't know from the University of Buffalo. Mm-hmm. He's a monster. He's literally 6'7", 240 pounds, mm-hmm. and he has a cannon
six,
for an
seven,
arm.
That's usually the cutoff.
That's exactly
mechanics
right, BT.
Get a little wobbly.
Mechanics get wobbly. You believe that you can make every single throw because he's got a cannon. But he has never had a quarterback coach. Interestingly, tomorrow we'll talk to Jordan Palmer, Carson Palmer's brother, who is a quarterback coach now. One of the kids he worked with was Tyree Jackson. So
nice.
we'll get some insight from Jordan Palmer tomorrow on Tiki and Tierney. But catch our show tonight at 7 p.m. on the network.
It's awesome. I love that you're doing that. Again, tonight, 7 to 9 Eastern, right here on CBS Sports Network. Then Wednesday, we will have our Tops draft show. Myself and Adam Schein, Amy Trask, London Fletcher, which is the only reason. That's from 9 to midnight, 3 hours live. The only reason I'm not flying down to Nashville with Tiki and Santa after the show is because I'm going to lay back in New York City and do the show from the studio, get up early, fly out of LaGuardia, and meet you guys there early Thursday. So we're on set Thursday and Friday. It's a full week. We got you covered. The network has you covered. It's ready to rock and roll. So football time is upon it. Like the speculative time, like the games are great.
Yeah.
We love watching games. We love reacting to games, but you know, the draft, I'm talking probably more so for the fans because we love it all, but there's something about the draft that, like, gives, I think it galvanizes fans.
Yeah, because there's hope, man.
There's hope, but also it's a chance to flex your knowledge.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And
yes.
fans are buttoned up these days.
Look, they are, because, look, either you love a kid because you watched him in college his entire career, you know, like Kyler Murray, who won the Heisman Trophy and was on TV a lot. Dwayne Haskins, obviously, with a Big Ten powerhouse like Ohio State. You've seen these guys. And if your team is in potential position to get one of them, whether it's, you know, the Giants or the Redskins or the Raiders or Arizona Cardinals or whoever these teams that might be looking for a quarterback, you're mm-hmm. excited about it. And then you get deeper. You're like, all right, we don't need the quarterback. But if we could find a stud rush end, or we could find, you know, the diamond in the rough wide receiver, then you feel like there's hope going forward. Everybody who's a fan of a team dissects their lineup. And you look at it, you're like, we could use a replacement for that guy.
No question.
I don't really like that guy. He's all right. I know it, but he's getting a little bit old. Mm-hmm. And so the draft is a chance to, like, replace and bring hope. And look, the NFL has one thing on lock that the other sports don't. A team can literally be terrible one year mm-hmm. and completely flip the switch the following year. The Chicago Bears are the perfect example of this past year. And it just takes having the right pieces built over a couple of years. Like, rebuilds aren't like 8 years like they used to be. It just takes a couple of years. Get the right coach, get maybe the right quarterback. You get a defense that builds itself quietly, and you're like, oh, wait, we got that guy and that guy and that guy, and then we just drafted that guy. Mm-hmm. Right? There's excitement that comes from the draft because it brings hope.
Mm-hmm. And really, I was going to move on, but I would add this too. It's almost like, you know, if you're a fan of a team that's, you know, 5 to 8 wins, you know, in that window of, you know, really not on the radar of relevance, you might have a kid who right now who may have been your primary wide receiver, or you might have a kid who is your main linebacker, maybe playing out of position, or a defensive end who's getting double teamed because it's a little thin on the rest of the defensive line. Now what could happen with the draft is you actually get the star, and now the guy who was miscast as a primary outlet now goes into a secondary outlet and becomes a star as a secondary player. So you're either rebuilding or you're sustaining in the NFL. So to Tiki's point, everybody's got a little something in on the table, if you will, for the draft. So we're out there Thursday and Friday. It's going to be terrific. All right, the Celtics. Do we need to reassess where the Celtics were, where the Celtics were headed? I mean, it was pretty messy for a big part of the season. A little drama, a large element of underachievement.
Yes,
Kyrie's bouncing.
Some of it was injury. Kyrie's banged up a little bit, and some of it was, you know, unnecessary drama. Like, who's the guy? Who's the man here? Some of it, and I think this is actually more like a big part of it, was how do we as young stars, you know, the Jason Tatums of the world and the Rozier, how do we step back into a secondary role with Kyrie and Gordon Hayward now being healthy? How do we, like, how do we pull back? Like, we saw ourselves, we were dominating. And let's call it for what it was. Brad Stevens didn't do a good job of managing that.
No, we said that many times.
You're right. He just didn't do a good job of managing it. And you couple that with the injury issues that we talked about with Kyrie and, you know, his lack of being the leader, right? He's a leader by example, but his lack of being the man. Right? This is my team. I'm the best player on this team. You guys got to follow me. There's a skill in that, right? It's why we evaluate quarterbacks. It's something we evaluate quarterbacks come draft time. And if you don't have it or you just haven't evolved into it, things can go awry really, really quickly. And then you couple in the fact, BT, that around the trade deadline, a couple of these guys are being mentioned as trade bait for Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. So we talked about how that disrupted the L.A. Lakers. It was probably having a similar, yet significantly smaller, effect on the Boston Celtics, right? We even heard Jason Tatum say, I'll go to New Orleans. You know what I mean? It was an odd space that this team was in because there were so many factors having nothing to do with ball, by the way, that were affecting the squad. It's all gone now. And everyone's healthy except for Marcus Smart. And Kyrie is doing what Kyrie does in the postseason. I mean, he's turning into one of the great postseason players like ever. How good he has been this year. You couple that with the championship season that he had with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, I got to stop you.
Kyrie,
42%. Let's not go nuts saying he's one of the greatest playoff performers of all time.
Well, I'll tell you what.
He's
been great for this Boston Celtics.
I know
squad,
he has.
And he was great for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they don't win without him. So if you win a championship and you've been to the finals 3 straight years, and you went for 3 straight years, you missed one because you were injured, you come back and you sweep in the first round. Now, granted, they're supposed to sweep the Indiana Pacers, but Kyrie is making a name for himself, especially after all of the nonsense that surrounded him.
All right. I think that you mentioned Marcus Smart, and here's one thing that jumps out to me. Mm-hmm. I think this is really important. And this is where Brad Stevens is going to have to learn how to redistribute the minutes here because, you know, even though you gloss over it, and you and I have talked about this a million times, there are people who parachute in and out of the season. Yep. Maybe it doesn't really register. I need to illuminate this further. The young kid, and I'll do it quick, the young kids who are empowered early, they're playing, they're balling, they're scoring, they're going deep in the playoff. All of a sudden, boom, Hayward Irving, bang. Okay, a complete recalibration of not only of style, but minute distribution. It's usually in the NBA, it's the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. You got to earn your way in, And as you get deeper into your career, you get a bigger piece of the pie. It's not reduced. Especially, it's never reduced once you flash
right.
and get to almost the NBA Finals. So that was trickier to navigate from the player's point of view, much more than while we knew it, while we said it, you know, psychologically, it was really challenging. It was challenging for Brad Stevens to make sure everybody played enough minutes to have to feel the flow to get in rhythm.
Yeah.
It's made easier by Marcus Smart's absence, who plays 27 to 30 minutes a night.
Right.
So I'm a little hesitant to say Brad Stevens finally figured out the elixir with this team, because when they reinsert Marcus Smart, I know he had a pretty favorable workout, but I don't think he's coming back. You know, but when he comes back and plays, you're right back to where you were before he got hurt.
Well, let me ask you something, BT, and I think this is an important distinction to make with this Boston Celtics team. Now, again, let's preface this by saying they were supposed to beat the Indiana Pacers.
Yes.
There's no score on the Indiana Pacers. I mean, I like Bojan, but whatever. There's no scorer that's going to, like, beat you for the Pacers.
He's not a go-to guy.
Without a little depot. So they're supposed to beat them. One of the benefits, and it's been espoused a lot, mm-hmm. about Marcus Smart is his toughness, right? He brings a toughness. He's a dog. He'll hound you. He'll do all of these things. But he's also a pretty horrendous shooter at times.
It's kind of like Patrick Beverley, the Eastern Conference.
You're right. And we're seeing what's happening now that a superior team is mm-hmm. and have, like, okay, stop pestering me. Or you can keep pestering me. I'm just going to ignore you now. and the Warriors are doing what they're doing right now. But do they even need the Marcus Smart energy in order to?
Yes. Not
why?
Yet, though.
Okay, go ahead.
They will. They will need it because, you know, Kyrie, as magical as he is, he still has some mystifyingly off games for a superstar.
He does.
Horford is an incredibly, you know, respected. He's a textbook veteran, mm-hmm. sets the proper screen, knocks down the 15-foot shot, give him an open three, top of the circle, can it. He's going to make the smart, savvy play. But there's still too many fluctuations in their shooting. And in the NBA, you want to steal the game, you can steal it with grit. And, you know, in the regular season, you play 82 times. This team's exhausted. They got in 3 a.m. They didn't take you serious. They were out at the club. They were up in their bedroom with some, you know, with two groupies until 4 in the morning, not getting any sleep, doing Lord knows what. I mean, that's the reality of life. You know that in the NBA. In the playoffs, it's dialed down, and everybody's locked in. And there are times when balls just don't drop. You know, you look up, you're like, even a great James Harden, 0-for-15 to start.
Steph Curry started game four pretty horribly.
Steph did not come out shooting well. That would have been two games ago. And there's going to be a game against a really good team, a team that kind of mirrors Boston in terms of talent, although stylistically it's a bit different, mm-hmm. whether it's the Bucks, whether it's somebody in the championship, whomever it might be, and Marcus Smart can will them out of a lethargic, lumbering malaise and steal the game.
Yeah.
Based on his energy and his toughness, that will wake up the rest of the team. That's why I think he's important.
Yeah, I do too. But is it worth mixing him back into the equation and causing minutes issues?
You got to do it real slow. And you don't do it until it's out of necessity.
Yeah.
You don't do it to, like, whenever he's back. And by the way, when do you think he will be back? Mike, do you have an update? When do you think Smart? I know we had a workout for Brad Stevens. What's the latest there?
Brad Stevens' official quote was, "I have no idea." So it could literally be anywhere from days to a couple weeks.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. All right. Appreciate you.
Yeah, right. Let's say he's cleared in 2 weeks. I'm just throwing out a roundish time frame number, if you will. 2 weeks. At that point, you'll be, what, two games into the Eastern Conference semis? I believe they start May 2nd, if I saw that earlier, correct? Yeah. I was looking that up.
And they'll play the Bucks.
Play the Bucks.
Yep.
So, to do that, like, if he's ready for game one, I won't play him.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm down 37 to 17, because they're going to be in Milwaukee, or if I'm down 29 to 16, and I'm getting my head handed to me, then if he's ready physically, I tap it. I say, go get him, Junkyard Dog. You got to stir this
game
thing
one.
Up. If he's healthy.
Yeah.
If I'm winning and I'm playing well, he's going to sit and watch. I'm not going to throw him in there until I need him. You know, almost like a trick play in football, like a flea flick or something wacky. you know, like an all-out blitz where you just can't stop them conventionally, I'm going to keep him under wraps, and I'm going to utilize him when my team needs a jolt. When that is, that's where Brad Stevens gets paid a lot of money. He's got to figure that one out. 855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney Show. All right, Nets and Sixers get a little chippy here, and, you know, Embiid's popping off, Dudley's popping off, Butler got, you know, thrown out of the game, which Jared Dudley. Trash talk is good. I love it. But still, the Nets kind of stuck their toe in the water. They tried to get physical. I wanted more. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why they failed to cash in on a terrific opportunity to not only win the game, but to win the series. That's gone. Deke and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. It's good beat, D-Cell. Pardon me. Your Maz D-Cell. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save yourself 15% or more on car insurance on this Monday, Tiki and Tierney. By the way, this Thursday and Friday, we're packing it up, and we're hitting the road. We'll be in Nashville, Tennessee at the NFL Draft. We will be there at the end of the week for two shows presented by the Wrangler Performance Series. Wrangler Performance Series, a collection of jeans and pants featuring a comfort flex waistband and denim that flexes for comfort. Wrangler Performance Series, try on a pair today. Tiki's got the show tonight here on the network, CBS Sports Network, with a good crew, with Adam Zucker, whose hair is never out of place, Danny Cannell, who's got good opinions, Kevin Carter, who looks like he could still get about 10 sacks.
Oh, man.
He is yoked.
He's still like 265.
He's a big boy.
Looks like he's still a player. Obviously played like a 280, but he's a good guy.
He's a good guy. We had him on the top show at the Super Bowl a couple nights, and that's the first time I've really had a chance to work with him. Really smart guy. I've obviously watched him a lot. Polished, really good.
He lives right down the street from Rondé in Tampa.
Do they play golf? Do they hang out?
A little bit, but he's busy like Rondé's busy.
Yeah.
I mean, Rondé's playing golf all the time. Kevin does a bunch of college games, and he's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
His son just is committed to Dartmouth.
Really?
College, play football.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's got a lot of good stuff going on.
Couldn't get into Princeton?
I think he had his choice. He chose Dartmouth because they had a really good program over the last few years. But we were talking about Rondé's Lake.
Wait, the Dartmouth head coach, didn't we have him on?
Yeah.
About 4 years ago with the they don't practice during the week. They don't
tackle.
What's
his name? I can't remember his name.
But is he still there?
Yeah, he's still there. He's been there for a while now. Like eight years or maybe even longer. And Kevin was telling me that the staff.
Buddy Tevins.
Tevins, exactly.
Thanks, Mike.
The staff has been fantastic up there.
Nice.
At Dartmouth. And they stick around. Unlike a lot of assistants and coaching systems that just kind of turn over. Like, I got to go be an OC, and then I got to go try to get a head coaching job. Like, his staff has stuck with him.
So they pay him enough so they can sustain a lifestyle up there. Because you're right.
Like, they're in it for the right reasons, which is great.
A lot of these coaches, not that you get into coaching to make money, but you certainly don't want to be you don't want to be destitute.
Oh, dude,
a lot of these coaches, $15,000, $16,000 a year.
Some of these college coaches are chasing salaries.
It's not that different from broadcasting. Young buck broadcasters, you get paid nothing. All right, so that's coming up tonight, the Inside College Football Draft Special Quarterback Show. They will focus on the quarterback, Zuck, Cannell, Carter, my man Tiki, 7 to 9 Eastern right here on CBS Sports Network. So get your plug there. Back to the hoops. Listen, can you pull my ridiculous rant from last week? If you missed this was – Mike wasn't even here, so Mike hasn't heard this. This was – me, and I meant it, and, you know, some people thought it was a little bit too cavalier, a little bit too dangerous. That's fine. I really thought the Nets needed to resort to a tactic that I would generally never co-sign.
It was never going to happen, ever. But Jared Dudley might have been listening.
We got a little of it. So this was me last week imploring the Nets, not so much that, you know, Embiid's elbow caught Allen flush in the temple, basically, but that they laughed about it post-game, him and Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. So I was all over this, and then we'll get to the Dudley stuff and the flair. This was me from last week. I want to see the two clowns who were sitting up there at the press conference laughing, like the pseudo-apology, like a bunch of 12-year-olds, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, utterly unprofessional. And I'll tell you what, and I know that this is going to sound ridiculous, and if you don't like it, quite frankly, I don't care. I would go to the end of the bench, and if I'm Kenny Atkinson, I insert the one guy that I don't need, hear me out, the rest of the night. And within the first 3 minutes of the game, I'm having that guy throw a flagrant one right in Embiid's face. Okay. So he didn't look down the bench, not that far, but he did look down the bench, and Jared Dudley got minutes, and Jared Dudley's been a bit of an antagonistic figure in his NBA career. He used to be a really good shooter. Look, you know, he bounced around a little bit.
He's got a role right now for this Nets team. Not working.
He doesn't look like he's in great shape at all, does he? I mean,
it's like Raymond Felton.
Raymond Felton
comes off the bench. I'm like, come on, Raymond.
Yep. I remember doing Jared's game when he was at Boston College against St. John's. How I was telling you about this off air, that's how long, you know, Jared Dudley, I remember watching him play. He was good. And he's carved out a long career. So something had to be done. Now, it wasn't as aggressive and forceful as it should have been done. And to be fair to Joel Embiid, what Jared Dudley was reacting to first from Dudley's point of view, Dudley was looking for any opening. Anything that remotely was across the line from Embiid, he was going to react to.
Yeah.
And he was ready. And you got to respect that. But that was a clean swipe at the ball by Joel Embiid.
No doubt.
Incredibly aggressive and a heavy, big hand coming down on you. But completely legit.
Yeah.
Got all ball.
He did.
All ball. Now, Dudley comes in. Butler pushes him. Ben Simmons gets in the mix. Front row. That's never a good look for the NBA or any sporting event or league. Based on what went down in Detroit years ago, you always have to be uber aware of that. Butler got bounced. Dudley got bounced. The Nets lost. And, you know, the Nets lost because they just didn't execute down the stretch. And, by the way, the NBA actually said that Allen was fouled at the end when he could have had a dunk to tie it, and they missed that call.
Yeah.
And that was obvious in real time. They came out with the meaningless apology, which does nothing for the Nets.
At all.
I know we were texting about this, but you saw that happen, what was your reaction?
So the first thing I thought, if we see it again on the network, CBS Sports Network, I thought, man, he's spiking a volleyball. I mean, very rarely do you see a swipe like this. Blocks are usually like, I'm going to get my hand up and maybe tip it out of the way.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
He wound up like he was spiking it over the net down at someone's grill.
Uh-huh.
Which I thought was Joel Embiid furthering his intimidation on this Nets team, right? It's exactly what he was doing before with Jared Dudley. Like, you're not going to have – I mean, not Jared Dudley, Jared Allen. You're not going to have any impact in my paint. If you come in here, whether I'm on the offensive side or you're on the defensive side, I am exercising my physical will on you. What are you going to do about it, right? That's what I originally took from this. Okay. And then you tweeted or you texted our group, and it was like, it's about time. We got some pushback. And I just kind of laughed like, it's Jared Dudley.
I just got excited when I saw bodies hitting the stands. It reminds me of an old Nick Bulls game.
Look, Joel Embiid is a physical presence.
No question.
He is a dominating physical presence. And unless you have someone who can counter that, he's going to do what he wants. Mm-hmm. And that's what he was telling the Brooklyn Nets. He told it when he threw the elbow. His apology was half-hearted and clownish. He subsequently apologized for his screwed-up apology. But it's not going to ever, ever make him change the way he plays the game. And I laud him for that, because that part of the NBA is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do it somewhat cleanly,
mm-hmm.
like that block was clean.
100%. Right? I'm totally with Embiid on that.
Then you know what? More power to you.
Yeah.
Nets find a way to have an answer. It's not Jared Dudley coming rushing in trying to be an enforcer.
At least somebody did
at 33. It looks like he's 38.
Allen didn't even do it. I mean, every time Allen's like further and further away
from
the play.
What's he going to do? Seriously.
Not wind up 9 feet from the scrum as a start. I know he's not going to be able to do much if he sticks around. But
he can't do anything.
It's just a bad look being that far away from
you. I agree.
That's all I'm saying. Embiid's got him by 90 pounds. I understand that.
But it's rare. Like, it's rare that you have a big man.
He's almost
like
Shaq now.
Exactly.
It's like that disparity, that gap in strength and sheer physicality is becoming almost like Shaq to the next nearest big man back in the day.
And more importantly, his want to be intimidating.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of those big men, they could do these things. They don't want to, right? They want to be a finesse player. I want to back away.
You mean today's big man.
Yeah. I want to be out near the, 25 feet. I want to have to step back and do a crossover and shoot a three-pointer. Joel Embiid wants to get his body in the paint. You see it multiple times in this series where he is, like, enforcing his will to get his shot right there on the edge of the paint and make a shot, right? And I love that, because it's the old physical way of basketball, and guys aren't used to it. They don't know how to react to it. Jared Allen has no idea what to do.
That's true.
Whether it was in high school college.
That's true.
Guys didn't play like this when he was coming up.
And when that happened, it was broken up fast.
Exactly.
I hear you, man. No, I think you lay that out very well. Here's Joel Embiid on Jared Dudley. This was postgame on TNT.
First of all, he's a nobody. So, and when, you know, opponents trying to do stuff like that, that's just to get us out of the game. Especially, I'm too valuable for my team. That's why I didn't react. I did not do anything. And I didn't think I was a flagrant foul because I played the ball too. But in that type of situation, I just got to stay composed and be mature and let it go because my teammates need me more than they need him. So, you know, I just got to be mature.
All right, very good poise there by Embiid. And then, of course, Jared Dudley got wind of Embiid's comments. And here's Jared Dudley postgame.
I thought it was just a good push, letting know we're not having it today. I got pushed, which is fine. And then we get up, our both separate. Should have been a double tech, double, if you want to do flagrant on both, and both teams said for them to eject not only Jimmy, but myself, it's ridiculous. If anything, I probably would have got my money's worth a little bit more.
Okay, so go get your money's worth next time.
That was a measured response. He's right. It should have been a double tech. It shouldn't have been a whatever. They shouldn't have ejected him.
No. Well, you know, but, yeah, I agree
maybe
that.
Butler.
I was going to say maybe Butler because he actually inflamed
it. Yeah, I mean, he pushed hard. Jared Dudley just kind of got his body in Jim Bede's face. Like, what you going to do?
But they never separate that in the NBA, and that's one mistake that they always seem to make. Like, whether it's just not having the conviction or wanting to just one swooping brush avoid any conflict, they always seem to paint it in with I don't know.
It takes two to tango. There's got to be the other side.
It's not equitable.
No.
It doesn't have to be doled out equitably in terms of punishment.
You're right.
I want to say this at least for Embiid real fast. You know, I think, first of all, Dudley was just looking for an opening, as I said before. But now picture, I'm Dudley.
Mm-hmm.
And in front of me is Embiid. I can't see. And again, that's a violent windup. Clearly, all ball.
All I see is swing and my guy on the ground.
Is on the floor again. Okay, so I'm thinking he got him in the grill again. It's go time, pretty much. And Embiid pointing at him. Oh, Embiid was pointing out to the officials, that's off his knee.
Yeah.
That's what he was pointing at.
Yeah, you're right.
So as aggressive as that swipe was, great job on the TV side here again. Watch, here's the swipe coming up. Boom. And then a quick point off his leg. And he's like, what are you doing? And then Butler pushed him, and then Ben Simmons got in there. And then, again, they thankfully defused before anybody got hurt.
Yeah.
But I don't know why Dudley was bounced. You know, you can make the case if you want to keep it old school that even Butler should not have been bounced, but I get why he was. And, Embiid is the bully who knows that nobody can hang with him right now in the schoolyard. And until somebody does, if I was him, I'd do the same thing.
I would absolutely do the same thing. Yeah. And he should continue to do it until someone actually can step up to him physically.
No doubt. All right. Coming up, we've got the blast, and a little late here, so let's get right now to Jay Berman's update, and Jay is coming at you. Okay, let's wrap it up. Still got a couple things to hit here on Tiki and Tierney. Let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. Here's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from Mike in the beautiful Bay Area. All right, Mike queries, the Rockets survived game 3, even though Harden started 0-15. Can they actually beat the Warriors in round 2? You know, I'm not so sure if the odds are going to be coming in from Vegas here, but I think they're going to be slanted a lot more than I've communicated most of this season. Tiki likes the Rockets more than me. I thought it was a great sign for them to win that kind of a game on the road when Harden was invisible for 90% of the game.
Yep.
Obviously, the boogie injury changes things a bit. I would still bet on the Warriors, and I will. But I'll give him a puncher's chance.
I'm saying this is a series. I think this one goes 7, maybe 6, 6 or 7. Warriors still win.
Okay.
But I do think this is a series.
Yeah, I hear you. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Tiki and Tierney, we'll hit the blast here in a second. CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. And speaking of the network, tonight it's 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, so a little more than an hour from now, right after Time to Shine, right? So we have Tiki and Tierney rolled into our guy Adam Shine, Time to Shine. I'll see Shiny on Wednesday for our Tops preview draft special. But tonight, we got a full slate here. Tiki's part of the crew. CBS Sports Network's Inside College Football digs deeper into the upcoming NFL draft as they break down the best arms in the game. Who's the league's next superstar? Don't miss the quarterback show on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. That is us, CBS Sports Network. Adam Zucker is going to run point. Got Kinnell, got Casey, Kevin Carter, and Tiki Barber. So that should be a lot of fun.
I like it, man. I like it.
Did you give me a little pop on the show or what? That's all I ask. No. I mean, that's all I really care about. You didn't?
Zucker did.
Zuck took care of it?
Yeah, he did.
And a boy. As long as we get that, it's all that matters. I'm just kidding. Here we go. Blast it up.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, Peyton, we glossed over this earlier, football at the 40s. Peyton has decided he's not going to take the gig over on Monday Night Football. He doesn't want to hang out in the Boogmobile. Outside of Tony Romo and Rondé. See, I have to put Rondé in quotes. Did you put him in quotes? Why did you put him in quotes?
Who's the best? No, because I just didn't want Tiki to be, overly biased. Yeah, you know
he's going to be biased.
Yeah. Just take him out of the equation.
Okay. So just outside of Romo, who's the best NFL game analyst?
That's a tough one.
It's a lot of good ones.
There are really a lot of good ones. Collinsworth is
good. It's funny. I actually like Collinsworth more than most people.
I do, too.
Because most people say he never shuts up, and as somebody who
never shuts up, though.
I can relate to that.
You need that.
Yeah, it's kind of his job to talk.
I'll say Charles.
Charles Davis?
Davis. I like because his information.
Connected to the draft, so he knows these kids when he does the NFL game. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say Charles Davis.
I'm going to say Charles Davis. Get a little love for Aikman. Aikman solid. I was a big Sims fan when he was doing that. You know, obviously moving into Romo, who's great. You know, let me say this. If you're not great, you don't bother me the way most people get bothered.
Right.
Like, I could still just watch the game, even if you're average. Like, I could kind of shut out the... And conversely, like, if you're great, you could certainly enhance my viewing pleasure, but...
You could also try too hard.
Definitely try too hard. But listen, we got a lot of good ones in the CBS stable, but to be fair, so does Fox and so does NBC with Collinsworth. So you get to that level, you're doing something right. All right, Yelich smashes three more bombs over the weekend, and one of which was grabbed at the wall and pulled back for an out.
Are you
kidding me with this guy? He's on pace for 92 home runs. 92. Do we think he will top 50? I mean, Mike, assuming health, clearly.
Yeah, easily. He's going to get to, 30 by the time we get to the All-Star break.
I was going
to
say, he'll have 15 by the Kentucky Derby, minimally.
Yeah.
Minimally. There is not a dead. It's a hitter's ballpark for the most part. He's surrounded by guys who mash, so he's going to get fastballs. You can't pitch around them. Now, granted, he'll have a prolonged slump. It's baseball. He's absolutely going for 50 yokes. There's no doubt in my mind. Absolutely.
And so is Cody Bellinger, too, by the way.
What a swing he's got.
Even
Peterson's swing is sweet, too. Yeah. Those Dodgers with Muncy, when they connect, everybody swing. All the lefties look good. How about our boy Aaron Judge? That is not good for us. All right. Struggling Giants considering trading Mad Bum at the trade deadline, something I've hinted at for a long time on the show.
I've asked Yankees. This question like 1,000 times already.
All right. Well, let's ask it again.
Because he's 29 years old. Yeah. Should they dump him, I guess, is the question, to rebuild?
Should they dump him or try to rebuild around him?
Come to the Yankees. Help us. Help us.
The Red Sox actually need more help with the rotation, by the way. The Yankees rotation's okay.
Yeah, it is, actually.
I mean, Big Maple, Paxton, he's got 24 strikeouts the last two games.
He's had two really good outings.
Oh, he's got sick stuff.
Oh, right?
Sick stuff. Tanaka's good. CeCe's functional.
You're right, but trade. I'm going to say trade. I think they should trade him.
He won't be on the Giants at the end of the season.
Yeah, you got to start rebuilding a little bit. It sucks because he's the kind of guy that you wanted to see be wherever he was. For his own career.
I hear you. Especially since he won multiple championships.
Exactly, and he's just iconic.
Yeah, no, he is.
But he's. I think they gotta do what's right for the organization.
I totally agree. Buster Posey's getting old. Brandon Belt's, not that he's old, but he's not what I thought he would be at first base. Brandon Crawford is good, but he's not a kid at shortstop. I mean, they're a ways away. The NCAA will not allow Reggie Bush access to USC practices.
What?
Come on. Are they going to stop him?
Come on, NCAA.
How are they going to stop him?
This is nonsense.
What is this? All right. So, and players, despite his new job as Fox Sports college football pregame analyst. By the way, we had Reggie Bush in studio for Tops. I think it was 2 years ago.
Reggie's great.
Man. And we knew right away he was going to be phenomenal. Is this petty or is this fair?
Well, I think
of course
this is
petty.
It's Well, it's not USC, by the way. This is the NCAA. No,
that's what I said, the NCAA, yeah. Not USC, the NCAA.
I can't say that it's petty or fair. It's clearly unfair, but I don't think it's petty. I think it's short-sighted by the NCAA, and it's too blanket of a restriction about something that, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say it's minor because obviously everything was vacated and his dad or someone took money without Reggie knowing, but I mean, it's just weird. It's just it's too petty.
You're overthinking
it's
it.
Too,
it's petty.
No, but it's too it happens too commonly to be this punitive. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, although not many players who were quote unquote embroiled in what Reggie was embroiled in, quote unquote, are now looking for access as a lead analyst for networks. So that's why I say it's petty.
True.
Allow the man to do his job.
I don't disagree.
That's weak. Come on, NCAA. That's horrendous. I'm with Reggie Bush.
How much is Fox paying you, by the way?
Yeah, I know. For the rights you're talking about?
Thank you.
Tigers former caddy, Stevie the Vigilante Williams. Don't sneeze, don't cough, don't breathe. Tiger's getting ready to take a swing, a practice swing at that. He was a badass, Stevie. Stevie started to annoy me at the end. Then he went to Adam Scott's, and when Adam Scott won on his bag, when he won the Masters, he was jumping around like he won it. All right, relax. But Steve does praise the Masters win, and he says it's going to re-energize golf. Who's Tiger Woods' best caddy?
Joey.
You know, you're going to go with Stevie?
No, I'm going Joey. Kava.
Oh, Joey, your boy, Joey.
Of course. He's a Giants fan.
All right.
Anyone who's a Giants fan who happens to carry the bag for the greatest golfer ever. Got to be the best one.
Joey LaCava will go down. And by the way, I think Tiger's got more wins in him. I mean, for a year and a half, I was saying he's going to win, and I believe he's going to win again, and maybe even another major this year. I believe that Joey LaCava will go down as the, certainly a big part of the renaissance. He stuck with him. He wasn't on anybody's bag for a long time while Tiger Woods was getting himself right. But I think the answer might be Fluff. Mm. If you look back at when Tiger was destroying people.
Yeah.
Fluff, and then Fluff went to Jimmy Furyk. How old is Fluff, by the way? Fluff.
Well, he always looked older than he was because he was like he was
one of those
white
guys, like Sparky Anderson,
like
kind of guy.
His hair was white.
71,
and it was when he was young.
Like Sparky Anderson,
yeah,
the
exactly.
Old
so when he was like mid-50s, his hair was.
He looked like he's 71
exactly.
Now.
Exactly.
I'd have to really dive into this and really nuts and bolt it, but my instincts, based on the early part of Tiger's career, the dominance with no peers, I'm going to say Fluff.
LaCava.
Right.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
All right, as always happens this time, BT, couple days before the draft, the Wonderlic scores miraculously get lead. Guess who had the number? We're just talking quarterbacks. That's all we care about.
Okay.
Everybody else is PE majors, coaching PE majors.
Let's go.
We want the QBs. Ryan Finley, the top Wonderlic score. This is out of 50, by the way.
What do you get, a 42?
43.
Okay.
Gardner Minshew from Washington State.
We like
him a lot.
Him.
We had him on.
Yeah.
Remember we were talking about his life, like what happens for
his
him.
His mustache.
Well,
he was great.
Well, he's a graduate transfer.
I know.
So it's like, dude, you're basically like a pro player playing
exactly.
College.
Yeah.
You don't have any school to go to. Nah. You're just kind of chilling.
Staying out with the Gardner Minshew playing in front of 100,000 people.
Number
once every week.
Two at 42 on the Wonderlic.
It's got to be Daniel Jones, right?
Gardner Minshew was second highest at 42.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Jones from the Duke University. I almost said University of Duke. Duke University, 37.
Ooh.
37.
Must have cut some corners out there in Duke.
Right.
37, that's not that good.
Sometimes you're too smart for your own self.
37's not that good.
Well, the best quarterback in the Big Ten.
What did Haskins get?
25.
Oh, 25.
And the number one pick in the NFL draft.
What did Kyler Murray get?
For the Arizona Cardinals, select Kyler Murray.
What did he get?
20.
Give me some comp. Who got a 24, Mike?
Mahomes got a 24, so let's
give me some other comparables. What did Brady get again?
Here's the thing.
Brady, Peyton, what are those guys? 33? Drew Brees?
Go ahead. Inform us, Sam, real quickly, because I got a statement.
No, that was I had Brady was at 33. Fitzpatrick is the best ever. I think
he had
a 48 or a 49.
Yeah, 49, yeah. I think it was.
Okay.
It means absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I think it could mean something. And I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
If you're a little short on the numbers, a tenth of a second, I do believe the intelligence could kind of narrow the gap more so than if you bomb the test.
Right, this is very similar to the criticisms that get levied on the SAT. It's less about the score. It's more about the test.
Go ahead, hit the camera.
Oh!
Nice.
Look at that.
That's because I gave a perfect pass.
You're right.
Hey, have fun on the show tonight.
Thank you, brother.
That was sick. That was great.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.